This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes. Since its launch in 2004, Facebook has grown at an explosive clip. The number of users topped 1 billion last year. While most users count on the social networking site as a convenient way to stay in touch with family and friends, plenty also find it presents new challenges.
Facebook is definitely something that a lot of people use to, like, show other people who they are.
And I know a lot of my friends, when they, like, get ready in the morning, they'll, like, pose in the mirror to, like, see what they would look like in pictures that would go on Facebook.
Like those high school students, many now project and consume idealized images from social media. And as WBUR's Andrea Shea reports in our ongoing series, Digital Lives, researchers are looking into the real-world implications of apparent flawlessness.
Some of the freshest data on Facebook's impact on us comes out of two German universities. At the end of January, researchers released details from joint studies exploring how the mass proliferation of so-called perfect lives on Facebook can cause rampant envy and distress. Daily Show host Jon Stewart couldn't resist ribbing a report on NBC News delivered by Brian Williams.
A lot of items in the news today about our health and well-being, including the fact that Facebook can full-on bum you out.
Wow! Thank you, brah!
Then Jon Stewart asked,
pray tell, what about Facebook puts us at risk for the bumming?
Researchers call it Facebook envy. It's the act of viewing all your friends' fabulous vacations, lovely children, attractive friends, and great social lives. The research showed it can leave people feeling, you guessed it, lonely, frustrated, and angry.
I'm not a doctor, but if you get upset because other people are happy, it seems your problem might not be Facebook, but that you're an
It's easy to crack jokes about Facebook, but Belmont-based clinical psychologist Craig Malkin takes findings like this seriously. The studies found one out of three respondents felt more dissatisfied with their own lives after spending time on Facebook. Numbers of birthday greetings, likes, and unprecedented access to other people's photos triggered emotional pain and resentment.
And this is something that keeps showing up in the research. That some people out there wind up negatively comparing themselves to what's portrayed on Facebook by their friends.
We all know how the definition of friend has been challenged by social media. Our circles have grown to include everyone from best buddies to coworkers to kindergarten classmates to friends of friends of friends to strangers. Connecting online with this vast community can upend our sense of self, according to Malkin. He says a lot of 20-somethings tell him and his colleagues that they actually hate Facebook, even though they're on it a lot.
Let's launch Facebook. That's what this is all about. So I am going to my page.
Malkin, also an instructor at Harvard Medical School, mainly uses Facebook for his work as an author. He says the social network's negative impact on our identity and self-esteem is playing out in therapy rooms everywhere.
We're really just in the infancy when it comes to this research. But there are some themes that are emerging, and one of the clearest themes is when people go on to Facebook, they're often crafting a persona. They're portraying themselves at their happiest. They're often choosing events that, you know, feel best to them, and they're leaving out other things.
These picture-perfect images can be especially difficult for teenagers because they're hyper-conscious of measuring up to their peers and because they're forming an understanding of who they are. 17-year-old Hannah Musgrove, a senior at Milton High School, is taking a break from Facebook, mainly because it's time-consuming, but says she can relate to the research.
When you go on Facebook, it's kind of just like, you're going through everyone's pictures and you just get lost in it, and like you're looking at everyone's life like, oh, that looks so much fun, and like, oh, they're so cool, like they're so pretty, they have all these cool pictures, and but really they've taken so much time just to make that image on their Facebook. It can make you feel bad, I guess, or like, you know, down about yourself.
It can be hard looking, but also stressful presenting, she says. Not surprisingly, people go to great lengths to perfect their image. 16-year-old Chloe Miller is a sophomore at Newton South High School.
You can literally airbrush your pictures online for free. I know I've done this, like upload your picture and then you like can take out like all your little like pimples and stuff to make it look like your skin is perfect, like your hair is perfect. Like, this picture has, like, over 658 likes.
Miller and her real-world friend, Paige Herrer, log on to Facebook 10 to 20 times a day. Each has about 1,000 friends and say profile pictures, or pro-pics, are a huge deal. Some teens update them obsessively, vying for likes on Facebook. But Paige says keeping up a facade by only posting pretty pictures and fun experiences can make it tough when things aren't going so well.
It just makes you feel worse about, like, what's going on. Like, it just makes you feel bad that you feel like you have to hide it from other people.
The self, to some extent, is a story we tell.
Again, psychologist Craig Malkin.
When people are choosing to leave out, you know, the normal chinks in human armor, the normal vulnerabilities, you know, how could they not feel like there's something wrong with that? What I see more and more in my practice is people who are leery of saying that they're struggling in some way, you know, saying it openly, not just on Facebook, but even in their everyday relationships.
Malkin says concealing the hard parts of our lives over and over again forecloses intimacy. It can condition and prevent us from nurturing real connections and developing an understanding of our true selves.
It affects it deeply because part of the way we come to develop a strong sense of self and an identity is by being known by others, appreciated. They see who we are and they value who we are, including our flaws.
But another clinical psychologist, Stephen Cooper, says being selective about designing and sharing our identity isn't anything new. We're constantly posturing in the real world, too.
When we decide what shirt we're going to put on or jacket or dress, whether we're going to wear makeup, all these things, we're always cultivating postures. It's an agreed-upon human behavior that we all present ourselves and cover up and cultivate these images and persona. So now it's broadened.
And broadcast to a much wider audience that was unthinkable in the past. Craig Malkin says he looks forward to future research about the psychological effects of disclosing ourselves and experiencing others via social media.
I think the mistake is just assuming that we're just going to figure out how to use it in a way that makes us feel good, because that's clearly not the case.
And of course, there are as many ways to use Facebook as there are Facebook users. For now, though, Malkin says we'll be learning as we go, because there are few signposts telling us how the largest social network will make us feel about ourselves. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
How does it feel to be one of the
We hope you'll weigh in on this story on our Facebook page. We'll also post your comments on our other digital live stories on WBUR.org.